Hi, and welcome to Literary Lunch, a light lunch for your literary appetite. I'm Beth, and this is my co-host, V.
A light lunch. So, like, when you go to the new restaurant that opened right next to the gas station and has, like, mystery meat that gives you diarrhea and doesn't even taste good while you're eating it. Like, that kind of light lunch?
Listen, I never said it was good, only that it would be interesting to talk about.
I mean, you'd think it would be good considering the source.
Well, sometimes being a New York Times best-selling author doesn't always mean your early stuff is that great. Today we're going to be talking about The Grown-Up by Gillian Flynn.
I mean, honestly, I wish a grown-up had written this or looked over this manuscript. I mean, who approved this? I don't fucking know.
Actually, George R.R. Martin approved this. He put it in a short story collection.
Maybe I just have bad taste. But, well...
Yeah, let's just be trash together, huh?
Let's just do the synopsis.
Our unnamed protagonist works giving handjobs and telling fortunes, and she wants to make sure you know how much smarter she is than everyone around her. She is approached on the fortune-telling side of the business by a woman who's being tormented by her haunted house and sociopathic stepson. She agrees to purge the place, for a handsome fee, of course.
And then, after, like, three visits to this house where two sort of creepy things happen, the stepson approaches her and reveals that this whole thing is a trap that his stepmother arranged to get revenge on the woman who has been giving her husband handjobs. He says she's planning to kill them both, so they make a hasty escape. Once they're in the car, he reveals that, actually, he was behind it all along, and he wants to get away from home to go to a supernatural convention. And then he reveals that he might also be lying. So which is it? The protagonist decides it doesn't matter, and they become partners in cringe. Crime.
So, Lunchies, you want to read this story?
It's Munchies, and let me tell you your future. I am picking up the psychic auras. You are going to waste 30 minutes of your life on this story.
How did this get 4 stars out of 5 on Amazon?
If this is published, there's hope for our writing, Beth. Yay!
The bones of this were good, but there wasn't much meat on them.
Weird, considering the protagonist's entire job is handling meat.
When the stepson reveals his scheme to the narrator, he explains the whole damn plot, like
Dr. Doofenshmirtz and Agent Perry.
I was gonna say, like, she's a total dumbass, but okay.
Not to rub that in, but she kind of is.
Sorry, I'm calling it there. Discussion time. I did actually really like the general, I guess, concept behind this story. I really like the idea of a con artist getting conned and a horror fan's imagination getting the best of her. And honestly, I feel like it could have been a really fun send-up of and love letter to the horror genre.
Beth and I pretty much agree on that. And good talk about all the things we liked.
Yep.
Great talk.
Yep, it's a very long list indeed. Now, the things we didn't like.
Oh god, where to begin?
So, I think we should start with yours and my favorite character, the sociopathic child.
So, this kid kind of, I don't even know what to say. This kid kind of explains the plot and, like, she doesn't discover this big plot twist in any sort of intelligent way that pays off.
Mm-mm.
This kid just kind of walks up to her and is like, hey, by the way, I orchestrated this whole thing. He even says, the vomit was me because you weren't listening to me. The doll too.
Yeah, he vomited in her purse.
The idea was actually inspired by Roman warfare. Have you ever read? Like he's literally saying, like, he's doing a Dr. Doofenshmirtz and Agent Perry. Like, here is my Eva scheme now that I have you captive. And I just felt.
Meanwhile, like, she's the one driving the car and he's like 13. And she's like, oh my god, I have no control over this situation. Like, she doesn't have any agency basically the entire way. Because she's just so dumb.
It is just sad. Because at the end, when she sort of says, and she says this, she says, I had convinced so many people of so many things over my life, but this would be my greatest feat. Convincing myself that what I was doing was reasonable. Not decent, but reasonable. I got in bed and watched the door of the adjoining room. Checked the lock. Turned off the light. Stared at the ceiling. Stared at the adjoining door. Pulled the dresser in front of the door. Nothing to worry about at all. She says that.
Yeah, because, you know, she decides that she's just gonna go along with the sociopathic child's evil scheme, and they end up renting, motel rooms with a connecting door for some reason, because that's not creepy for a grown woman to do with a 13-year-old.
Like, I don't even care. Like, I was like, is he gonna kill her? I don't care.
Yeah. He literally could have walked in with a knife right then and, like, stabbed her 13 times, and I would have been like, and?
And then, and so, because, okay, she was established throughout the whole story as scrappy and smart, right? This is a woman who knows how to play people, who knows how to read people, who knows how to finagle her way through situations, like...
I mean, if by established you mean she says all those things about herself over and over and over again explicitly, it's not even subtext.
There is no such thing as subtext in this story. Like, that's part of it. Is I feel like as a reader, I am being talked down to and I am being babied yes. through what we're supposed to think of the story.
And that really contributed to what I consider to be the cardinal sin for any horror story. This thing had no atmosphere. Creepy things just kind of happened with no buildup, no payoff, and no impact. It's so ridiculous. Like, she comes in. And there's a spot on the wall that smells like bleach. And the woman goes, oh, yes, that wall was bleeding, but then I scrubbed it away. Like, okay.
And she's just kind of doing this creepy mumbo jumbo. And I'm still in the mode that this is an erotica/comedy.
Yeah, because it all starts off with like half of the story being dedicated to this hilarious story of how this girl gives hand jobs, but also tells fortunes.
Yeah, I didn't get how this suddenly became. Now there's a creepy house and a creepy kid, by the way. Also, this woman can like take revenge on you for giving her husband a hand job, which she found out about through book club that you guys had, and like maybe that's not even the case. Maybe it's her kid who is crazy, because you know, let's just put in the sociopath kid and not do any of the work of having an actual horror story scary plot or like a reason that the kid yeah. is the way that he is.
Like, there's this moment where she describes the teenager as walking like a beetle, and because he's like hunched his shoulders or something. I'm like, that's just how teenage boys walk, ma'am.
Then she says, in a quote, kid was kind of likable, also a possible sociopath, but very likable. I had a good feeling about him. I was going with a smart kid to a place where everyone wanted to talk about books. And I was just like, all right, this is literally not even any organic transition to us thinking the kid is smart. This is just the author like heavy-handedly telling us, by the way, we're thinking this now, audience.
You like him now. Yeah, it's like this whole story is built around shock value, and that's it. That's all it has going for it. It starts off with the honestly pretty fun quote of, I didn't stop giving hand jobs because I wasn't good at it. I stopped giving hand jobs because I was the best at it.
Wait, I want to say that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. But then, like, it's just plot twist and then plot twist, and it twists and it untwists and it retwists, and it just doesn't make any sense by the end. It's just a bunch of twisty mush, like overcooked macaroni noodles.
Author writes about poverty and ableism very flippantly.
Yeah, I noticed that too. When she was, like, describing her mother as, like, a one-eyed beggar woman who was, like, so lazy, and she lived in such a crummy house. Very much leaning into the stereotype of poor people are poor because they're lazy, and, like, mocking her mother for only having one eye, and it was super weird. I did not like that part.
It's literally, like, how do I get them to pity my character?
Yes. It's, like, the very laziest kind of characterization, in my opinion. All the characters, they are all paper cutouts that you just cannot give a shit about. Not even one single shit. Plus, okay, I'm a huge horror buff. I love horror stories. And a horror story like this needs to have really in-depth psychological exploration. Like, you know, the much better book she mentions in the story, Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. Either that or it's gotta have some really dope ghosts. Like, you can't have neither in a horror story. Give me spooks or give me, like, contemplation. Just don't give me a vomit purse and a Manx cat. Woo.
Hey, I was living for that vomit purse, okay? That was like the highlight of the story, is vomit purse.
No, the best part of the story is that this character is like, oh my god, he chopped off their cat's tail! And it's literally just like a Manx cat. What the frick? But then maybe he did chop the tail off. Woo! Oh my god, the kid in this picture looks a little bit like the kid in the house right now! Whoa! Nah, it's fine. Just like, take the first page of your Google results and go running to your employer going, oh my god, your house is haunted, your stepson is possessed by an evil murder spirit, we gotta go.
Yeah, for a character who was sort of pitched as really smart and didn't buy into this juju, that was an awfully quick change of heart.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So, what are we rating this story, V?
0 sandwiches out of 5, because potential doesn't get you a sandwich, it just means you're fucking hungry.
Damn strain. Well, I guess that's it for today. Follow us on Twitter at LitLunchCast, email us at litlunchpodcast@gmail.com, or find us on our website at literarylunchpodcast.wordpress.com.
We want to hear your thoughts, your feelings, and your reactions to this story or the next one. You may even get a shout out. And since no one has messaged us yet, we're really hoping that someone will, you know, message us sometime. I'm lonely. Message me, please.